Hello, everybody. Welcome in once again here on the Talking Puck Podcast. A longer one today because this is our trade deadline wrap-up show. It first aired live on Monday evening after the trade deadline, which was 3 p.m. Eastern time. So here's Mike and I wrapping things up for you from the NHL trade deadline, looking at winners, losers, and perhaps some of the best deals to come out of it. And of course, we tell a few stories as well. All right, stick around. The Talking Puck Podcast starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome into Talking Puck TV. I'm Tom Callahan. Mike Haynes here with me. And Mike, the NHL trade deadline is come and gone. And here we are. We talked about a lot of things yesterday. And now we get to wrap it all up today because some things came to pass as we had forsooth. And then there were some things I got to say were a bit of a surprise. So I'll just lob it up to you, whatever direction you want to start, because we've got plenty to cover.
First of all, I've never heard anyone use the word forsooth before, but
it's one of my favorites. I enjoy it.
I like it. Well, you know what drives me crazy? We get done with the show last night and talking to my son. He could talk hockey 24 hours a day. And I said, well, you know, what's going on? Anything happened while I was on doing the show? And I said, we're talking about goalies. And he said, you know what? I'm reading that there's a 50% chance that Fleury's going to go to Minnesota. And I gave it, and it was just like the wedding singer. I go, well, that's information I could have used earlier. But anyway, so he told me about that. And I thought, well, that just didn't sound right to me. Because Fleury really had... I believe from every indication, he had kind of the right to say no or yes to any trade.
Sure.
And he must see something, I would think, in Minnesota. Because remember, you know, this is an older guy. He moved his family. Now he's in Chicago. It is a one-year deal. He knows that he could go somewhere next year. But why do this? Why agree to it unless you have a feeling or you have a sense or knowledge that Minnesota's got a chance this year? And poor Cam Talbot must be kicking the family dog right now, just going, wait a minute, this was poor my dog. Team all year. But here comes Fleury. But I'd love to get your take on this. Do you think – now, are we making too much of Marc-Andre Fleury? Or is he going to have that much impact? Does Minnesota have enough to really make a run? If they can beat St. Louis, then they get Colorado in the second round. So, boy, does Marc-Andre Fleury change what we thought was going to happen in the West at all? Or are we making too much of him?
So at first, when you told me the story, I thought your son was giving you a weather forecast saying a 50% chance of flurries in Minnesota. I'm like, what's the big deal? Oh,
that's funny. All right. That's funny. Yeah, that's good.
I don't understand why this is a hot tip. But as it turns out, it was 50% chance of flurry in Minnesota.
Yes.
Right. And so, all right, Mike, here's the thing. I was thinking about this one this morning and last night and just, you know, kind of going over it. Something that surprised me as I dug into Minnesota a little more. Minnesota, I think we have this idea, we being the hockey, I'm using the royal we, the hockey community. They're a low-scoring defensive team. You know, they have to grind everything out. Do you know they're fourth in league scoring this year? I did not know that. That's mind-blowing.
That was their persona for so... Yeah, their persona was that for so long.
Yeah.
So long.
Yeah.
That when they first came into the league, you know, they had a coach who came from New Jersey who really was all defense first, shut things down in the neutral zone, just, you know, play that kind of hockey. And hey, they had a couple of surprises. I remember in 2003 when they were down 3-1 to Colorado, came back, won that. And then I think the next round they did it again. They were down 3-1. They got to the conference finals. But that was the kind of play they had. And they never had, they had very, very few dynamic offensive stars over the years. I mean, Mikko Koivu kind of personified the kind of team that they were. Good player, solid, smart defensively, chipped in a few goals, but he wasn't a guy that you jumped out of your seat when you watched him play. They've had a very few guys that can do that. So I think that's an easy misnomer for us to think, well, that's what Minnesota is. But I'm glad that you're pointing that out. This is a team that can score. And now and look, Fleury's a smart guy. He wasn't going to agree to this unless he didn't think he was going to go and uproot everything just to go for one round, right? He must Sure. he must have a sense that Minnesota is ready to do something. When we talked last night during the show, I made the thought that I still think that Minnesota seems like they're a couple years away. Guerin is now in his second year, and he's made some major changes with his team. I just didn't think they were ready yet, but Fleury must think that. And I love that you pointed out that they're the fourth highest scoring team. That's remarkable.
It is. And you know what I like about this deal for Minnesota is that they didn't give up a ton for him.
No.
They did short defensively a little bit too with Jacob Middleton, but it's a nice deal for Guerin. And it fits what we were talking about yesterday, Mike, when I said, I think Guerin has been on the sidelines for a lot of goaltender activity because he didn't like the price. Well, all of a sudden, the price for Marc-Andre Fleury seems very reasonable, so why not take a roll at this guy to see if he's going to be able to do something for you? I kind of like it. I think it's not a gamble. He is an expiring contract. If he likes it, maybe he stays. Look, Minnesota has backed themselves into a win-now mentality because of the buyouts. So they're going to get more and more punishing with the cap hit. Eventually, Minnesota's going to have $14 million that they're going to have to try to work around in dead space. That's awful. So right now, maybe you try to make hay while the sun shines, and you do have a couple of dynamic players. And I know Kaprizov has not had the best season this year compared to what he was last year, but he started slow. He's coming on and he's playing better, and maybe he catches fire in the playoffs. That's a dynamic score. They've never really had that kind of guy. I like Minnesota because they still do bring the lunch pail and the hard hat, but you never know. Maybe just the boost. Two things for Fleury is the boost on the ice, but also the boost off the ice. Everybody seems to love this guy. Everybody loves
him. And he's won. And we've been preaching this. He has won. He is a guy that can teach teams how to win. I just found it interesting because I'm sure there was no shortage of suitors for him, and for him to make that decision to go to Minnesota, it tells me that here's a guy who certainly knows the game better than I do, and he must see something in Minnesota that would lead him to think, you know what? We can do something here. I mean, they're probably going to end up playing St. Louis in the first round if they stay in that second or third seed in the Central, unless Nashville or Dallas can catch them. I don't know if that's the case. So that'll set up a very tough second round for them. But that's a good rivalry that goes back a long ways. And, you know, and all of a sudden you've got a couple teams that can score some goals, and maybe the goaltending makes a difference in that series.
Yeah,
you've got a goaltender for Colorado who has never won anything, and then you've got a goaltender in Fleury who has been a winner in his career. That makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And a couple other big name trades that came down today. A couple things we can talk about here. Ricard Raquel finally moves at the 11th hour. He ends up in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Max Domi goes to Carolina. Kind of slid him in the conversation yesterday.
Yes, I want to talk about that one for sure.
Okay, and then I'm trying to see if there was any other big one I wanted to kind of put out there to keep everybody aware of what's going on. Just as things are starting to still trickle in, some minor trades still coming in as we're monitoring the board. And believe me, you'll still hear of things coming out later and later as they become official from the league. Just because you don't see anything up there yet, it could be up to a couple-hour backlog. So just be patient if you're a fan and you don't think your team did anything. It's possible they didn't at this point. We know Toronto's done. Right. Kyle Dubas has already been on TV talking about how he tried and tried. And, you know, they did a little bit. They got a little better. But let's talk about the East. And let's start with Carolina, because the one deal they do make is Max Domi. And we're not sure what's going back to the Blue Jackets at this point, but it couldn't have been a whole lot. Domi is exactly what, Mike, you talked about yesterday for this Hurricanes team. Depth scoring, second line, probably third line, And it, is that all Carolina needed to do?
Well, I'm sure they would have liked to have done a little more, but there wasn't that much out there. Let's be honest. I think the Raquel, if they picked him up, I'm Carolina, I would have been more happy with Raquel. But Domi's got 9 goals, 32 points in 53 games, 37 penalty minutes. He brings a little bit of sandpaper. And you know, he's got some skill. He's never quite had the career perhaps that we thought he was going to when he started in Arizona. I thought bigger things. I thought he was going to have a bigger career. He had a nice year, one year in Arizona, but then went to Montreal, spent the last few years with Columbus. It's a nice addition. But would you agree, if you're Carolina, would you rather have had Raquel than Domi? Now I'm looking at the trade for Raquel, and it still says to be determined. So I don't know what Pittsburgh gave up.
So
that could be.
I've got at least a partial listing here on Raquel. It's a 2022 second rounder, Zach Aston Reese, right. Dominic Simon, and a prospect.
Oh, so they gave up a lot then.
Good haul for Anaheim.
Yeah, so maybe Carolina. Len, give me what's the? I'll look at it real quick.
It's actually it's TBD going to Columbus.
I'm saying for Domi. So it was one. It was one for one, right? For Columbus.
Probably
Reschuk.
I have
here.
Oh, okay.
Reschuk, Aiden Reschuk.
Okay.
Going from Carolina, so it's one for one. So they didn't seem like they gave up much future.
Sure.
So maybe Carolina felt that they've got a very good team. They wanted to add some depth, but they didn't want to give up as much as Pittsburgh gave up for Raquel.
And that makes sense, because if you're Carolina, you don't really want to give up a ton if you don't have to, and they extend Jesperi Kotkaniemi right after that. So Carolina was pretty happy with their team, and they should be. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the NHL. Is it a common I want to get to a Preds comment here quickly. Spiderface said, thought it was an awful day for the Predators. I didn't want them to do anything but sign or trade Forsberg. They do neither. Then they gave up a second for a healthy scratch in a deep draft. This year is a bonus for them. The window was supposed to be in a couple years. If they re-sign Forsberg, they have to hope Weber doesn't retire. I don't think Weber is going to retire, because that would also kill the Canadiens. So don't worry about Shea Weber retiring. And Weber's contract didn't get traded today. It may at the draft. Some of these longer-term players, I'm not surprised Chychrun didn't move. When a player's got term, I feel like you need a little more time to work that out. Kane's another one in Chicago. I feel like if he moves, it's going to be in the summer. Forsberg, it's a good thing they didn't trade him if they are going to extend it, but if they don't, there's time to move him at the draft. Certainly, you don't want to lose a player for nothing, but, you know, kind of looking at teams, like a Nashville, didn't do a ton today, is kind of sitting on that playoff cut line. Is that just a matter of, we'll see what happens, get in and see what happens? I was surprised Nashville didn't do much, to be honest with you.
No, because usually David Poile does something. I mean, he's a guy who goes for it. I just don't think there was a lot out there. I think once the best, how about Kessel not getting traded?
And his sister broke that on Twitter. Amanda Kessel's the one who said it looks like there's no interest and Phil's not going anywhere. I love that. Way to go, sis.
But Giroux was the best forward available around this time. You had Lindholm, probably the best defenseman available, along with Giordano. And Fleury was the best goaltender available. After that, I just didn't think there was a whole lot. I mean, Raquel's a good player. Is he a championship maker? I don't know. He'll add something. You know, Domi's a good player. I don't know if he makes that much of a difference. I mean, the top teams, Calgary, Colorado, they didn't do a ton, really. I mean, a couple little things, but nothing earth-shattering. Tampa Bay made a huge deal, not today, but they made their big deal with Chicago. Florida made their big deal getting Giroux, and Carolina didn't do a whole lot. They got, they got their Domi. So, Tom, I think it was more of a case of there wasn't Dallas didn't deal a lot of their great players, so they weren't sellers really today. And Winnipeg, to a degree, they were. Brian Little goes, Andrew Kopp goes, a couple of other guys went, but not the real big names. So I didn't look like the teams with talent. And we talked about on the show yesterday, I thought Winnipeg had the most amount of talent that was on their team, on their roster, as a seller. And, you know, they traded a couple of guys. Dallas didn't do anything. They didn't unload anybody, but they didn't pick up anybody either. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
For Dallas, they weren't a buyer or a seller, really.
Yeah, they just kind of grabbed Vlad Nemestikov from the Wings for a fourth rounder. Who cares? That's a little trade. And you know, it's interesting. So I think Domi was a good move for Carolina. I actually like Raquel for Pittsburgh, and I know they gave up a lot to get him, but this is another example, Mike, of we talk about trades like this all the time, where a guy who used to have to be the guy now doesn't have to be the guy in Pittsburgh. He doesn't. He can be a mid-pack guy, and it'll be just fine. So I like that for Pittsburgh. Hagel going to Tampa is another one. Boy, you want to talk about a player who could catch fire in a place like Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
That could turn out to be an amazing trade.
That's a good trade. That's a good trade. I like the Giroux trade too. I mean, he's going to bring he brings a little spunk to that team too, you know? I was reading the quotes today about Giroux cuz I was curious, cuz there was all these rumors that he had picked three teams in the Central Division to go to. And then we all thought, all right, this is what it's going to come down to. And then he goes to Florida, and he had to okay this. And he said in the quotes that I read was, they were annoying to play against.
Nice.
I thought that was a great quote. And
So he
likes that team a lot. And maybe being on the East, he saw them more than he did the West teams. But he obviously likes what's going on down in Florida. And he made that. So it looks like Fleury made his decision and Giroux made his decision as to what team they wanted to go to.
Sure. I can absolutely see that. And Mike, I'm putting up a couple slides here. I've been putting them up on and off of the major moves in the East and the West. If we look at the West, Minnesota, the big ab was Fleury, and they pick up, you know, a little bit lower down the line of Jake Middleton, Nick DeLaurier. Colorado gets Andrew Cogliano and Josh Manson, so a forward and a defenseman. They also pick up Arturi Lehkonen. Calgary made their biggest move in getting Toffoli weeks ago. Then they added Callie Armkruk last week, Ryan Carpenter. But Derek Brassard goes to Edmonton, and then Nick Leddy and Luke Witowski to St. Louis. Those are kind of shore it up type of moves. Now I'm a little surprised because Edmonton did add depth on defense, and Brassard he's a journeyman veteran at this point. He's entering that kind of part of his career. I don't think Edmonton did anything to make me think that even though they're playing well right now, that they can make a deep run. I think we're at the end of the day, Minnesota adding Fleury is the most compelling argument I have to elevate anyone. But I still think Colorado, Calgary are head and shoulders above the pack.
They are. But I'm now interested in Minnesota just because of what Fleury as a winner can do against two goal. If he has to play, if let's say he played either one of those two teams, both those teams have goaltenders that have, not that they're not capable, but they have no history of winning anything in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Neither of those guys. So what does that mean? I don't know. A few years ago in St. Louis, one with a goaltender who never won anything before either.
Right.
So it's not an absolute, but boy, if it came down to game six or game seven, I like a goaltender who's been there before. I like that.
And
I
especially
like
one
guy,
with a calm demeanor like Fleury. He's not a guy who blows up at his teammates. Mm-hmm. He's not a guy who loses his mind if you run him in the crease. Like he's just, He's seen the elephant, you know. No,
The key is for a Minnesota getting to that game six or seven, those deciding games, when you have a Fleury, if you can get to that point. If you're getting blown out, you don't even get to it, then it doesn't mean anything. But if he can get you to that point, and you've got a game seven, boy, I like a Fleury. That's my guy. You know, for if you look at the goaltenders in the West, he is the most proven goaltender, at least his history.
Of the contending teams, yeah, I think it's either that or, I mean, Binnington has one cup, but Fleury's got three. Here's an interesting question, too, that comes in from the chat. So with the moves by Florida and Tampa, who comes out on top? Both teams can score. They have great goaltending. Does it come down to defensemen? And I think, yes, it does come down to defensemen. So Carnage and Rome, thanks for the question on that one. But, Mike, your thoughts. I mean, who's better now post-trade deadline? And by the way, late one coming in, Riley Nash, center, going to Tampa Bay for futures from the Arizona Coyotes. Ooh. That one just popped up.
More depth. I got to give Tampa Bay some credit. That is a team. That GM's sharp. He's a good general manager there in Tampa Bay. He's really good. Because it's easy to go, all right, we've had our two cups. Let's see what we can do here. Chances are it's very difficult to get three in a row, but they've made it very interesting in the East. I thought Florida, Carolina were way above Tampa, but I think that that was such a good trade by Tampa Bay. If they play Florida, that might be the Stanley Cup, really, between those two. You know, that might be. I know. To me, that's the best. Florida against Tampa Bay might be the best playoff series we'll see this spring.
It helps if I unmute myself, I discover. So I would love to see that series, Florida-Tampa Bay, just to reiterate for those who didn't hear me because I muted. But here's the other thing too, Mike, is, and Spiderfish says, Mike, you are right. And this is no surprise to Mike. Mike knows he's right.
yeah, it's redundant, really.
Mike's always right. Mike, I'm going to have shirts made up that say Mike makes right. And Spiderfish is also saying, I think you have to give the tip of the cap to Tampa Bay until they lose. And Carnage is comparing it to like the Bills Kansas City game this year in the AFC playoffs. You know, a lot of people felt like that was almost the Super Bowl itself.
It definitely was the best game.
Oh, and let's talk for a minute too. I mean, after you get out of that, then you're going to have either a really good Carolina team, maybe Pittsburgh, and the Rangers. By the way, the Rangers
Toronto
went for
too.
It today.
Yeah. Oh, they did. You know what? That East is going to be so much fun to watch. Really fun. I mean, right now, I think because of the Fleury trade, there are three teams that can come out of that West, I think. I think you have Colorado, Calgary, and Minnesota. Those are the three teams. Out East, boy, oh boy, that's going to be real. Rangers made themselves better for the playoffs. They didn't trade the goaltender either. They held on to their goalie.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I know we'll get to it, but I know people watching and listening, we'll get into this Islanders situation. What happened with Lou Lamoriello there with the Islanders? But Rangers are good. Toronto did not change in their goaltending situation. I know you want to tell that story about what happened with Arizona and the goaltending, but Toronto's still a scary team. They've got a lot of offense, and if Campbell can play well, maybe, you know, they'll push a little bit. Boston's still got enough experience. Pittsburgh got themselves better. I like that East. That's going to be for some fun watching in the playoffs on the East Coast.
You know, it is. And we're going to have several playoff treats this year. And I'm kind of excited for the first time actually in a long time because of how competitive the early seasons could be. Or the early series, I should say, could be. And that's something I don't think we've seen in a while, with the exception of maybe that crazy upset loss of Tampa Bay. When they lost to Columbus and no one really saw that coming, we haven't had a whole lot of early round series where we feel compelled to watch and then wonder who's going to come out of this. But I think we're set up for at least one or two on either side in the very first round of the playoffs.
I think more so on the East. I would be shocked if Calgary and Colorado does not get past their first round. That would be shocking. And then the middle teams, you're probably going to have LA against Edmonton and then Minnesota against St. Louis. That now becomes more intriguing to watch. I don't know if you have upsets, though. I think you're more inclined to see an upset out east than you will, I think, in the west. I just don't know if the teams are going to finish in the wild card, whoever that's going to be, if it's Dallas, if it's Vegas. You know what, though? Let me rethink that. I don't think that Nashville is going to be able to upset anybody in the first round. I don't think Dallas can this year, but Vegas, you just keep thinking, can they get it together? It doesn't seem like it's their year. Everything seems to be going wrong, but let's say they start to get a little bit healthier. Stone does come back. Pacioretty comes back. They get that line going with Eichel. I don't know about the goaltending with Leonard. That if he's out, that I don't know what you got. But if there's one team that finishes in the wild card that could pull an upset that has the potential, it would be Vegas to me.
And we haven't
you think
even,
Nashville or Dallas has that potential to pull an upset in the first round?
I think Nashville does because they have like I say, they've gotten the streaky scoring from some of their top names. Finally, I think they could steal a series. Dallas, I have a little harder time buying in just because they're a little older, and Braden Holtby is a guy, he's got a cup. At least he's the experience that, you know, you might need there, but I just don't know how Dallas, as currently assembled, really strikes fear into anybody. Now, look, you can overlook an opponent. You know, someone can come in and maybe get knocked back a little, and any team in the NHL can beat anybody else on one night, but it's one night. It's not a best of seven. So,
right.
Yeah. Now here's another question though, Mike, while we're talking about the West, and you look at, okay, Minnesota elevated themselves in your eyes. St. Yes. Louis didn't really do a ton. They made one move. They got Nick Leddy is really the big ad here for them from Detroit. Luke Witowski comes in a little bit of depth on the right wing. Is St. Louis a team that can get out of the first round at this point versus now, what if it is Minnesota and St. Louis in that first round? That's a tough matchup both ways.
I think that is a series that could go six games. I wouldn't be surprised. And I don't think Fleury makes it a lock that Minnesota's getting by. But I think that'd be a heck of a series though to watch.
I would enjoy that one.
We know what St. Louis is. Now we know what Minnesota is. That's a fun series to watch. I think they could go either way. I like Fleury if it comes down to Game 7 just because of his experience. But I could see that being a long series. That's not going to be a short series, I don't think. That one will go a while. The other one that's interesting to me will be Edmonton against L.A. Again, things could certainly change, but if we started the playoffs today, is Edmonton, have they figured it out to a degree? I mean, when we talked yesterday, they had won five games in a row. I know they got a tough game. They got a tough game tonight, but boy, five games in a row. when you have the best player in the game, you can't count out a team. You just can't count them out. He is. All right, here's a great question for you.
Okay,
is he the biggest? I guess MVP, but is he the biggest difference maker in the league? Connor McDavid, does he make more difference in a game than any other player? I think he does.
That is a great
other than goalies,
question.
not goalies, right. But I think he makes more difference in a game than any single player.
I would actually have a hard time arguing against that. I think that is a great point. Man, and by the way, sorry, I was a little distracted. The return is now in for the Andrew Kopp trade from the Jets. I want to come back all to right. Connor McDavid, but it's Andrew Kopp and a 2023 sixth rounder to the Rangers for Morgan Barron, a 2023 fifth round pick, and two conditional second round picks to the Jets. So mm-hmm. while Winnipeg was busy punting today, they did pick up quite a few picks. So, but obviously they're going to enter a rebuild phase here with what they gave up. So comp to the Rangers coming in there with the specifics. But you know what? So McDavid and Draisaitl each can be the biggest influencers of a game. But when's the last time, Mike, just think about this, that a high-flying, high-scoring team really pushed all the way through the playoffs and maintained that high-scoring, high-flying? And I know right now Vegas fans are cringing at me saying this because Vegas scores goals, score goals, and then drought. And that's when they get eliminated. And I think a lot of other teams run into that. I don't think they're good enough defensively. They're better since the coaching change. But I don't care how big a difference maker McDavid is. I'll agree he's the biggest difference maker in the league, but I don't know that that's enough.
I don't think it is. My point is just that he's going to take a team that is not as good as other teams and take them to another level. He gives you a chance to win just because he is so great.
Yeah,
but I was curious when I'm going back over the list of trades that were made. Would you agree that it seems, and I don't know whether it's just because of the competition, but the East seem much more, we've got to go for it. We got to make these big trades. Where the West, other than the Flurry situation, you look at the trades, it's almost like the West has sort of accepted who's going to come out of there.
Right.
Whereas the East, it's so competitive and that all of them, you know, the Rangers, Boston made a big trade for Lindholm. You know, Pittsburgh showed something. We saw what Tampa Bay did. Florida did their thing. It just seems like out East, they're all realizing how tough it's going to be to get out of that conference. And they all really bulked up, whereas in the West, it didn't feel that way, other than Minnesota making their Flurry deal. Everything else is sort of like, we did a little something. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that Calgary did its heavy lifting ahead of time, and that was smart.
Yes,
but
good trade.
For all the splash that was talked about, Minnesota really comes out with the biggest deal in the West for Fleury, but Colorado sounded like they wanted in on Raquel. They wanted in on all these players. They certainly wanted in on Giroux. Didn't work. They did not get that done. So yeah, when I go back and look at the East, Mike, and it ties in. Big Dave actually asked a question. Would love our thoughts on who had the best trade deadline for the Eastern Conference teams. But I'll even take it one step further. Who made the biggest home run trade here? As I put up the moves in the East again. Who had the best day team-wise, and then is there one single trade that may have tipped the balance of power or secured it, let's say, in the East? We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Back with more Talking Puck TV in just a moment. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now back to the show.
I think the potential to me is the Giroux trade. I think that Florida needed just needed somebody like Giroux. I really like that trade. The other part, I like Tampa Bay's trade too. Hagel has certainly got the potential, but Giroux is a proven commodity. Has he won a cup? No, but he has been a really, really tremendous player for Philadelphia for so many years. I think he's hungry. I think there's a, you know, I think he's really, he seems to be hungry to go there to Florida. And we saw in the All-Star game, you know, he was the MVP of the All-Star game. He's still got something left in the tank, I think. I think he does. I don't think this is a guy that is aged out and his best days are way behind him. I think he's still got something left, something to prove too. And that's a proud guy. I think of the trades that were made. I think Florida made the best trade.
And it's
if he comes through with what we expect.
It's hard to argue that the only other one that I could see I like the Hagel trade too. So I like both of yours. I think Giroux will be the most impactful because he's at the end of his career, is hungry to win, and still has a good skill set. I think he made Florida a lot better. That said, I am not going to underestimate the importance of Rickard Rakell to the Pittsburgh Penguins. And because of the potential for Crosby and Malkin, who have been going great guns lately, and good for them, their durability is not what it used to be, especially Malkin. So if he goes down, Rakell becomes a very important piece for that Penguins organization and being able to maybe pick up some of the scoring slack. Look, he scored 30 plus twice in his career, but that's not recent. You know, as you mentioned, this year his scoring pace is way off. The Ducks have fallen off towards the end, so maybe Rakell is a guy who finds a rejuvenation in Pittsburgh. That could come up to be a big one. So I'd be interested to see that one. And, you know, a couple things we haven't talked about here, and I do want to talk about, Mike, a little bit. Teams that sold, but I think still did well. Really, it revolves around, you want to talk about some crazy draft picks, and I'm just going to throw this up on the screen for information here for people, but Anaheim and Seattle, holy cow. Just draft picks alone. I'm not going to talk players or prospects they got back. Anaheim, this deadline, picked up a 2022 first and second rounder, 2 second rounders in 23 and a third rounder, and a second rounder in 24. Seattle, meanwhile, picked up 2022 2 second rounders and a fourth rounder. For 2023, a second, third, fourth, and sixth round. And in 2024, they got a third and a seventh. That's a lot of draft picks and a lot of Seattle. It's funny, Ron Francis was on. I was watching ESPN's online draft wrap show. And he said, boy, I hope I don't have to use all these picks to pick players. He's like, I'd like to be able to use a couple of them to make some trades for guys that are already around. But holy cow, they are now sitting on a ton of draft capital.
Yeah. Yeah. Montreal has done great, too, with those trades.
Yeah, Canadians.
I thought they did very well. And Arizona picked up some drafts as well. That was the name of the game for some teams. And because the price was so high, I go back to making that analogy of it's like a car dealership. If you only have a few cars, a few good cars, price is going to go up. You know, there's going to be some bidding. And you made the point yesterday that that was a pretty high price. I think it started with the Hagel trade. I think that set the bar of, this is what it takes. These are the draft choices. This is what it's going to be. And I can't think of a recent year, Tom, where teams have been so willing to give up top draft choices. It seemed like the trend has been in the NHL in the last 5 years of hold on to your number ones and number twos. Just, we're not getting rid of those. Interesting this year, teams were more than willing to trade first and second round picks. Why do you think, what changed, do you think? Do you think that strategy wasn't working for teams?
I really think a lot of teams now are kind of subscribing to the theory that if it's a late pick, like 20th or later, even in the first round, it's not a guaranteed NHLer. Actually, I mean, no pick is a guaranteed NHLer. Some more certain than others, but I think that's really what the attitude is a lot of buy into that theory that, well, we're here, we think we have a kick at the can, we have to take that swing now while we can, even if it means giving up those draft picks. And look, some teams, and we could point to recent examples of the Penguins, of the Blackhawks, who mortgaged their future, got their cups. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh somehow is still not paying the Piper, but Chicago certainly is. You know, and that's, it's funny, that cycle has happened twice over the career of Sidney Crosby. But that's what Pittsburgh has done. That's what Chicago has done at times. They mortgage the future. And you know what, when you win, that can help appease your fan base for years, especially for the people who are part of those cup runs. It can also spoil them. Blackhawks fans, I'm looking at you. Yeah. You're spoiled now. So, right. You know, you got to go through the lean times, but I think that, to me, that's the reason, Mike, is teams are just far more apt to take that one big swing at a cup.
Yeah, but this is a drastic change from the last 5 years.
Yeah.
It has, I've seen nothing but teams talking about, we are going to build through the draft and taking our prospects and grooming them. And that has been the formula. But I think perfect example of this not working is Winnipeg. That is a team that said, we are going to build through smart little trades, but we're going to draft and we're going to groom these guys. And it did not work. You have to. You look at the teams that are at the top. They were down. Colorado. You look at, teams in the past, Edmonton. Look at Tampa Bay, Florida. These are teams that were at the bottom, and you go back even to Chicago, they had really high draft choices and they didn't miss. They hit home runs with their draft picks, right? So I'm sort of going to underline what you said, Tom. You can't build through the draft unless you're getting a top three draft pick. Mostly those are look at the teams that are at the top now. They had number one overall picks or top three picks, and the guys that they chose have panned out as really tremendous NHL players. If you're trying to build it through the draft, but you're drafting in the middle and you're drafting, 14th, 15th, 16th, it doesn't seem like you can build that way. It doesn't work unless you are really a terrible team and you get a high draft choice and you pick up a Connor McDavid sort of player.
Yeah. I
think that's what happened. I just saw for years teams going, we are not trading our number one picks. We're going to build this way. And it didn't work in Winnipeg. It just didn't work.
No, it hasn't. And Big Dave says, I hope Connor McDavid doesn't become our generation's Marcel Dion.
I know.
There's that chance.
There's that big fear for sure.
For those who don't know, Marcel Dion was a tremendous, tremendous, one of the greatest of all time goal scorers, played for the Kings, never got a cup.
Never even came close.
I think with the Rangers too. But Dion, most known, I think, for his triple crown line time with the Kings. So interesting that we have that. And then we got to talk deadline losers, I think. Mm-hmm. Teams that didn't do anything that maybe surprised you with their lack of action, or maybe you didn't like the deals they made. I feel like we might be visiting Long Island for this segment, Mike, but I'll let you I'll let you lead off with who you think you want to put out there is just had a losing deadline.
Well, let's look at, I think there's two ways to look at it. You can look at, did you lose? Are you a team that's in the playoffs? It's going to be in the playoffs. And did you lose by not really improving yourself? And then I think you can also be a loser, Tom, if you are not in the playoffs and you didn't get rid of, excess baggage and really clear yourself to try to get better. And if it's starting the Eastern Conference, just going down the list real fast, Florida, Carolina, New York, Rangers, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Toronto, and Boston all made deals. They all did something. Washington, to me, did nothing to make themselves better. Right now, they're in eighth place in the East. They didn't do anything. And the big mystery to me is why didn't Washington do something when everybody else in the Eastern Conference that were ahead of them were doing something? And what is the story on the New York Islanders? So let's start with the East. That to me, Tom, is the biggest loser for a playoff team not doing something would be Washington. And then the biggest loser to me for a team that's not making the playoffs that didn't get rid of stuff or change things would be the New York Islanders.
So Washington did very little. They did something, mm-hmm. but very little. As we kind of, I'll put up the East trades again. Right. They do get Marcus Johansson, but that's kind of a retread for Washington. So I don't know if that's a great move for them or not. I mean, you bring back in a guy you think you know who's now a little older, a little slower, maybe not as sharp, and they get Johan Larsson. I don't think Washington did it unless, I don't know, maybe Johansson comes back and just catches fire and he's back with his old boys and, you know, maybe a little late resurgence. But, boy, that's a hope and a wish, isn't it? That's not really anything concrete. So I don't know about that one. And I was surprised the Islanders didn't do much because they clearly had a bad year. Here's the thing. If you're a seller, which the Islanders would be, I felt like they could have gotten some pretty good return on what they were selling. And especially
about Anders Lee. What happened to Anders Lee? I thought Anders Lee was
Haven't heard a thing.
And Varlamov. I thought for sure Varlamov was going somewhere.
It almost doesn't make sense to me that they kept him if they're this far down, unless they feel like they're just going to reload this summer and be right back at it. I don't know. I'm pretty surprised myself that they didn't make that move or those moves. Actually, several moves they could have made. And again, this was a seller's market. This was an expensive year to buy. And I'm very surprised someone like Lou Lamoriello didn't take advantage of that. Also in the East, just kind of looking at some of the other teams here that I thought would be a little more active. Philadelphia got decent return for the pieces they moved. Ottawa did. You know who actually, I thought Montreal came out ahead. I thought they did nicely for themselves. But honestly, I'm going to put Toronto in the loser category. I think Toronto, be better than Florida or Tampa Bay, needed to do a lot. And I understand from what Kyle Dubas was saying earlier, he felt that he did what he could. But looking at Toronto, the Leafs have Mark Giordano. That's the only major move. They did some other stuff, but that's the only major thing they did was bring in a 38-year-old defenseman to try to help themselves get better defensively. I think Toronto didn't do enough. So that, to me, puts them in the loser category.
You wonder why. I mean, wonder how hard they went after Fleury. If all it took, Tom, was a conditional draft choice. How does Toronto not make that deal?
Maybe
do they
Fleury
just not have the
to
money
to Toronto?
I remember weeks and weeks ago, you and I talking about how that could have been seemed like a nice fit for Fleury. Likes the spotlight, has a chance to win. That it seemed like a nice fit to me, but you know, you're going to go to Minnesota. It's not certainly not Toronto, but there is a lot of attention in hockey. You know, they love their hockey there in Minnesota, obviously. So you'll get his attention. It's a different kind of attention. It's more of a loving attention than it is in Toronto.
That's true. You're scrutinized
a lot harder. But he thrives in that stuff. I thought that could have been a nice fit for him. I don't know if Toronto took a shot at him. You would think they would. That would have made much more sense to go after Fleury. But you know, I agree with you. I think missing out on a goaltender. I don't think they're going very far with Campbell. In net
and
in
if
Toronto.
Campbell's even healthy,
in that, yeah, and in that conference,
yeah,
he's not good enough. He's not good enough to get you out of that first round.
And Carnage asking, what about the goalie they're signing, Harry Sateri? Just for those who may have missed this, was plucked off of waivers. I did want to tell the story. The Arizona Coyotes claimed Finnish gold medalist Harry Sateri off of waivers from the Toronto Maple Leafs, because for them to sign him to come over from the KHL, they would have had, and they did have to put him through waivers. He didn't clear. Arizona picked him up. So Sateri probably came in, thought, I'm going right into a cup contending situation. This is going to be great. Nope.
Right.
Nope.
What?
I'm going down to Phoenix?
Going to Phoenix, buddy. So, yeah, that one came through. He was yoiked right out from under the Leafs. And again, I mean, knowing now what the price was for Fleury, if Fleury said, I only really, maybe he just wanted to stay in the West. Maybe, I don't know. You know, he's got a weird thing about the Penguins still and his loyalty there. I don't know. Maybe that was it. So in the West, by the way, kind of looking at the deadline, LA, believe it or not, I was thinking about branding them a loser for not doing much, but I don't think they're where they're supposed to be. They're not supposed to be second. So maybe what the Kings' theory is here, Mike, is we're just going to ride that horse and see where it takes us. And I think Edmonton struck out. I can't believe Edmonton didn't do a little bit better. Nashville, I was surprised that they didn't do a lot. They, you know, a couple of, you know, minor league and or depth deals, but nothing huge. Vegas couldn't do anything and lost not because of the deadline, but they lost because of their contract management or lack thereof, their cap management, which is now biting them so hard. That's their fault. Dallas lost. And you know what? I actually, looking at, you know, the Sharks move some guys around, that good for them. They needed to. Arizona and Seattle picked up draft capital. But can I say that I really still don't know if Vancouver thinks it's a buyer or a seller and the trade deadline has passed.
And they did nothing. They're only 4 points out.
Yeah.
4 points out. Excuse me. They're 4 points out. How do you not try to do something to better yourself? I didn't make any. You went to the trouble, in a sense, of changing your GM, your coach. I mean, you blew up what you were doing. Why would you not then put in the effort of making some sort of deal to try to get yourself into the playoffs this year? I don't know. I'm a little disappointed what Vancouver didn't do. San Jose, I don't know how good this young goaltender from Minnesota is going to be. That he might be the guy for them. He might be their future goaltender.
And I like Kokkonen, but he's had a down year this year, and I think they were kind of hoping when Talbot faltered, he would be better, and he really wasn't for them, but, you know, roll the dice, right?
Yeah, no, he's got potential for sure there. There's some mystery. You know, Dallas, I thought they were either going to be a buyer or a seller, and they did nothing, really.
Yeah.
Winnipeg unloaded a little bit, but they didn't empty the shelves to start over again. They've still got a lot of the same pieces, and that is not a Stanley Cup contending team. And so you pretty much got the same team going next year, unless obviously things could change. You can, draft, you could make a whole lot of changes, but in terms of unloading guys now, that didn't happen for Winnipeg. I thought again, and I'm repeating myself, but Minnesota was the only team that really made a big bang. Everybody else had a little bit. I mean, Calgary's Toffoli deal happened before, but we're just talking about the last couple of days here. You know, St. Louis didn't really do anything. You know, LA, Edmonton, Nashville, Vegas, Dallas, those are the teams that are contending, and Vancouver, you want to throw them in. Other than Minnesota, I thought the West was not much happened there. I thought the East was much more active, much more going for it than the West this year.
So here's Dave just threw this one in there. We kind of talked about this earlier, Mike, but of all the moves, has anything actually changed your mind on who comes out of the East or the West as a Stanley Cup favorite? Man, that's a tough one because I'm not even sure who my favorite was in the East beforehand. Thinking about it, because I liked Carolina, but I also liked Florida, and I also liked Tampa Bay. But I wonder if Tampa Bay, once again, at the deadline, has done just enough for a team that's played so much hockey. I know Giroux to Florida is an awful tempting move to get behind, but man, did Tampa Bay do just enough once again to get through in the East?
I just don't know if they got enough gas to go for three, especially trying to come out of the East. Every playoffs, three playoff series in the East are all going to be tough, really tough. It'll come down to Vasilevsky. Does he have enough gas left in him to bring him over the edge? If he does, then they'll come out of there. If he doesn't, if he's out of gas, and if he can't play the way that he did the last 2 years, I think Florida is going to come out. Florida and Carolina will be the conference finals. So I think that Giroux trade might have just edged Florida, because I just, going for this day and age, going for three cups in a row, I just don't know if you can do it. Do you think, is it a good thing that players did not have to go over to the Olympics this year? Do you think that that's going to add a little more gusto to the playoffs because they didn't have to spend those games playing in the Olympics this year?
I think so.
Because the top teams always have their best players going over to the Olympics. That's the nature of it, right?
Right.
So is that good for teams not to have lost their players to more games and travel and all that?
Yes, because a lot of teams, with a few exceptions, really didn't play much at all during that break. Mm-hmm. That was really during the break. That was just kind of teams that had COVID reschedules. And so they might have stretched a few out, but for some teams it was almost a 2 week vacation in a way. And not just for your third and fourth line guys, but your superstars got the rest.
And it wasn't like you're going up to Vancouver to play. I mean, you're going across the world to travel and go through all that. And who knows, with the COVID protocol over there, you might have been stuck for 3 weeks before you can come back. Yeah. So I think that's going to help in the playoffs. I think there's going to be a little more energy because of that. But I think, anyway, in the East, I still think Florida did the best. I think that I like Florida, and in the West, I got to say, the one team that changed, that I thought Minnesota had no chance. I wasn't even sure they could compete even with St. Louis. I thought maybe, you know, they'll win a couple of games, but I think with Fleury, I'm wondering not just his play on the ice, what impact is he going to have in that locker room on that team? Can he push that team? He's never been around a losing team, really. I mean, everywhere he's been, I mean, now Chicago this year is, you know, that's the exception, I guess you could say that. But he's always been around, you know, he some guys are just around winners. He's a winner. He really is. And I'm just fascinated to watch what impact he can have, because I thought it was just simply a two-team race to get to the Stanley Cup in the West. But Minnesota may make that a little more interesting.
So I do agree that it's made it more interesting. When I look at Marc-Andre Fleury, I think that if it comes down to goaltending in a series, he can give them an edge. But it depends on what kind of miles he has, and if it's hard miles. You know, we saw him kind of run out of gas on Vegas, too. Now, their scoring died, but Fleury got tired. And I think they overused him down the stretch last year. They didn't manage him right. So I don't think Fleury is enough to vault them past a Colorado-Calgary final. And I also think that Calgary is still the better team, because I think they have a better goaltender. And while I recognize Nathan MacKinnon is one of the best players in the NHL, Colorado on paper should be better. But for some reason in the playoffs, they just haven't been that team. And I don't know if Colorado yet has enough to get past Calgary. Now, star power, 100% it's the Avalanche. 100% MacKinnon and McCarr. Like, just leave it there. Those two guys are two of the biggest stars in the NHL. They also have some other really good pieces. Rantanen, I love Rantanen. They have a lot of good players on that team. But I just think Calgary is deeper, is a little more experienced. And look, the goaltender, who knows at this point? Darcy Kemper versus Markstrom. I think I like what I've seen out of Markstrom in the Flames, especially defensively this year. Nothing's changed my mind on that, Mike. I think that Calgary still has that nod. And if Minnesota somehow bounces Colorado, that'd be amazing. That would be a top story. I just don't know that Calgary is getting derailed unless they do it to themselves.
I think they have a very, very good coach too. I think that's a real advantage for Calgary. Their coach knows how to win
100%,
and he's good. He not only knows how to win, he knows how to get the most out of his players too. He's good. He's really good, and so it'll be interesting. I think those are the three teams. I can't see. I keep going back, and I know you watch them much closer than I do. So you tell me if I'm wrong here. If it all can come together, Vegas can scare you. Vegas can do something if it just can come together for that team. It just doesn't seem like it's there. Just on paper, you just go something. There's something good about this team, but it just doesn't seem like it's their year, does it? Things just keep going wrong things going wrong.
This could be the end of the initial run that they had. It's been 5 years. They had several good runs at it. It just didn't pan out. And I think now the injuries and the cap money and all that's catching up with them. I actually heard, I'm still waiting to see if it comes through because we all know deals come through so late. But there was talk that Evgeny Dodonov was going to be on his way to possibly Anaheim. Nothing's come across. May not have happened. I haven't been able to check Twitter. I'm just kind of relying right now on various trade tracker websites, but I haven't seen anything on that. But even so, it's a little late for Vegas to try to save that space.
I see it. It has shown up in the Canadian Sports Network. Yeah, dead and off to it just says to be determined.
Okay.
So the Ducks get him. Right. So that what is that, Tom? Is that just unloading some money?
Because Dodonov was actually a nice power play presence for them this year. Although now that they have Eichel, maybe that room isn't there for Dodonov. And also, he was a chip-in type of scorer. But $5 million this year, $5 million next year, space that the Golden Knights just can't afford. It also means that Riley Smith's $5 million didn't move, but he's an expiring contract. So that almost, cap-wise, is a better move, that they move out Dodonov for this year and next year, and then they just have to deal with Smith for this year, and then in the summer, we'll figure it out. Maybe you want to keep the player. The terms have got to be different. They're really going to have to figure out how to wedge all that money in. So maybe that helps. Maybe that does help Vegas. It does help Vegas cap-wise. It does not make Vegas a better team. It makes them worse. So, Freddie Charles has never won anyone a Stanley Cup. future considerations are Freddie Charles, in case you don't know that. But Freddie Charles has never won anyone a Stanley Cup.
Now, is that trade enough to get, if they wanted to, before the playoffs started, and he's healthy enough to get Stone into the lineup? Or are they still up against it if he's healthy enough?
No, they'd still be about five million over.
So they cannot get Stone into the lineup until the playoffs, then, can they?
I don't think so. And Dave asked the exact same question. Said, "Does that mean Stone's close to ready to come back?" Well, wait. Okay, now hang on. Let me.
What about Leonard? What if you say Leonard and his $5 or $6 million? That if you put him on IR, does that open up a chance then?
Yes, now it does. And actually, I just thought of that as you were bringing it up, Mike. So Leonard's $5 million. And Dodonov's $5 million being gone, the AAV, gives you room to bring Stone back. So
maybe that's the thought. Maybe that's what they're thinking.
It does. It does, actually, that they might be able to get him back in. Spiderface asking, how has Eichel been playing? Pretty well. Eichel as a player is fine. Eichel on that team has not found his, well, he hasn't even found his permanent line mates yet. So, I mean, that's a rough transition. Pacioretty can't stay healthy. Stone can't stay healthy. Eichel's been playing. He's looked good. Like, his vision is good. You could see it's there. He's looking around. But last time I was watching him play with Chandler Stephenson. And again, Stephenson was the first line center between Pacioretty and Stone, which was just fine, but should have been bumped lower down the lineup. Then they moved Marchessault up with Eichel. They've really been trying a bunch of stuff just to keep Eichel afloat and not getting too sour on his early arrival here, but I don't know, maybe Stone does come back now. That would be interesting.
That'd be exciting.
But it also means no Leonard till the playoffs. No Leonard till the playoffs.
Which do you want a goalie that's been sitting for that long? Now you throw him into the playoff, and you're going to play Calgary or Colorado if you finish in the the wild card. So that's tough.
Not an ideal situation. So
no, it's not.
Vegas is only a couple of points from sliding out of the playoffs too, Mike.
There's no guarantee, but I think the teams behind them didn't do anything that really helped themselves either. I don't think Dallas did anything, and I don't think Vancouver did anything. So I think they're going to make it. I think you're going to see Nashville and Vegas as your wild cards this year.
All right. Well, that's a pretty good wrap on the show. Is there anything else that we didn't get to that you wanted to talk about here, Mike? I think we've pretty much covered this really well.
I think if you tune in, you know everything you need to know about today's trade deadline.
That's right. You now know that Mike has zero faith in most of the Western Conference. So
I just think the East did a much better job. They showed me more of going for it than the West did, other than Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, again, the West, those three teams we kept talking about, Calgary, Colorado, and Minnesota, were the ones who made the real moves. And, you know, Calgary knew what they wanted and kind of went out and took care of business way earlier. But the East has made itself so much more interesting. I think I was going to be more excited about the Western Conference playoffs for certain matchups than I was about the East as a whole. But now the East as a whole has so much, to me, added weight of interest because I want to see how much better everybody got.
Yeah, no, if I have a choice, I'm watching the Eastern Conference playoffs in first round. That's I'm more interested in that because of the unpredictability. What could happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, well, that's a good one. Mike and I will be back with some podcasts this week. Want to say thanks everybody for following and watching and listening. Great chat today. Please like and subscribe. We would very much appreciate that. Last question, Mike. Spiderface says, whoever wins the East, will they be too beat up to win the Stanley Cup?
That's I don't mean to sound like I'm waffling here, but you don't know whether fighting your way through gets you ready for the fight in the Stanley Cup, or if you're just too beat up and injuries start taking their toll, then yes, then it's been too hard. But if you stay fairly healthy, I think those battles get you ready. Whereas it seems like in the West, it's a little bit easier road. And then maybe you're not quite ready for what the Eastern Conference team is going to bring. But again, you've got to make it through you've got to make it through three rounds without serious injuries. And that's tough in the East because they beat on each other out there in the Eastern Conference.
They really do. They really do. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question to end on. Thank you so much. And don't forget, Mike and I will be podcasting this week too. So anywhere you get your podcast, look for the Talking Puck podcast. But in the meantime, Mike, a successful trade deadline down. Neither you nor I went anywhere.
Good or bad.
I floated your name to several different podcasts and live streams and
nothing. Yeah. No interest. Not even future considerations.
I held out, buddy. I wanted a bag of pucks and a ham sandwich. And no one was coming.
Well, see, that's where you went. Yeah. That sandwich is always the deal breaker.
All right, everybody. Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate you being here. And we'll talk to you live Sunday night as well, 9 p.m. Eastern Time with our next Talking Puck TV. Take care.